microphone. And he has downed in your car to your home. Every week it's on the news. A deep talk or an interview. She'll make you laugh, she'll make you cry. When it's dark out, she's a light. When you're down, get you feeling right. Oh man, that's some fun.
Hi friends. Welcome to another episode of That Sounds Fun. I'm your host, Annie F. Downs. I'm so happy to be here with you today. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with some samples. So if you have read That Sounds Fun, you probably remember the story of me trying to get a dog and then realizing I was allergic. Sad day. And this is why I'm glad I found Claritin D, because an allergy attack is literally the worst. So I am thankful to have it on hand around my friends, pets, and other things. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. It's designed for serious allergy sufferers, and Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, and itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Amen to that. There are also a lot of seasonal allergy sufferers over here at AFD Inc. and at the That Sounds Fun Network. So Claritin D really works for this crew. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It is time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. So you can find Claritin D at your pharmacy counter. Just ask a pharmacist for Claritin D at the pharmacy counter, and you don't even need a prescription. Just go to Claritin.com right now and you can get a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Today on the show, I get to talk with one of my dearest friends, Emily P. Freeman. You may remember Emily from episode 9, early adopter being on That Sounds Fun, or episode 131. She's a longtime friend of mine, as well as a Wall Street Journal bestselling author and host of the Next Right Thing podcast. She's also a spiritual director. I call her America's spiritual director, a workshop leader. And today we're talking about her brand new book, which releases tomorrow. Congrats, Emily. It's called How to Walk in a Room, The Art of Knowing When to Stay and When to Walk Away. This is an important concept and an important book. I think you're going to love it and enjoy this conversation. So here it is, me and my dear friend, Emily P. Freeman. That sounds fun. Emily P. Freeman.
Every time. Everyone.
Why? It's not hard.
It is, because everyone says Emily P. Freeman.
But why? Who? I don't know if I've ever done that in my life.
I think because P and free rhyme, and it's hard.
And they're ours just next are hard. To each other. Welcome to That Sounds Fun.
I'm so glad to be here.
This is your 1, 2, 3, 4th time on That
what?
Sounds Fun.
Are
I
you
know.
Kidding me?
When you get to 5, you join the Hall of Fun. So I hope that comes around.
Is that real?
Emily, do you need me to show you? Hold on. Don't go anywhere. The Hall of Fun is for any guest who has been on the show once they hit their 5th time. Here it is.
How many people get, how many? So this 1, 2, 3.
4 times 3 is 12, 13, 14.
Let me guess. Dave Barnes. Jenna Claire.
Oh, Jenna Claire. Yes. Jenna Claire is on it. Yes. You're exactly right. She Reads Truth.
Of course.
Santa. Santa Claus. John Mark Comer. They're right next to each other on the list.
Wait, John Mark has been on 5 times?
He's actually been on 6 times. Yeah. He's crested over. I'm a big fan. You know this.
Wow.
Okay. Ellie Holcomb.
I was going to guess Ellie. I wish I
Our would. Friend Bianca Olatoff.
Of course.
Eddie Koffolds, of course. So.
Of course. That's amazing. I have great. Seen that before, yes. But I just don't think I put it all together of what it
You're
was.
You're so
exactly.
close. I'm just really excited that we'll just go ahead and get Next Lillian time. To order your plaque. So it's just available as soon as we're ready to stick it on.
Yeah.
Emily, it's the 10th year of That Sounds Fun podcast. So we have podcasting things to discuss, but because it's the 10th year, we're starting the show. With because the show is called That Sounds Fun, tell me what is fun to you right now. I don't even know this. What's fun?
What's fun or what sounds like fun?
Okay, sure. What sounds like fun? Maybe. If they are to you, they are to me.
Well, because, you know, what's fun right now is like watching Sheldon and, you know, like whatever, eating
Thai food. Young Sheldon?
Yeah.
You love it?
We just abbreviate it to Sheldon.
Okay.
Yes, I love it. And
why do you love it? Tell me why. I've never watched one second of it.
Fun fact, or not so fun, is that I did not know it was a prequel to Big Bang Theory.
Oh, you just thought it was a standalone?
I just thought, what cute. A great show, Young okay. Sheldon. It didn't occur to me, like, why are they calling him Young? Like, just,
oh, yeah.
You know, sure. like, where's sure. the old Sheldon? And then, like, we watched a whole series. And then we watched one season. And then I think I told my parents about it. And my dad was like, yeah, that's my dad who's over 70.
We love a Gary.
Said, oh, yeah, that's a prequel to that show. What's it called? He's the one who told me that it was the prequel to Big Bang.
So now are y'all going to get into Big Bang Theory?
Of course we are. Okay. Like, I can't wait to see what happens to Sheldon.
Great. And Thai food.
And Thai food. So my favorite Thai place closed down in Greensboro.
No. And that is so hard now to I'm come by hunt. In Greensboro. Yeah.
It is. I'm on a hunt for a new place. So John and I went to a place like a whole town over, which is a whole 15-minute drive
to
find a place. So we're going to find something, but that's a fun little project for us is finding a new place. Uh-huh. Nothing so far measures up to the old place, but
yeah,
we're going to try.
Tell me where you're recording your podcast right now with me. What room are you in?
So this is in my office. And now my office, I moved to the sunroom because girl woke up to the reality that let's go where the light is.
So
that's where my desk is now, but it's not very sound friendly out there.
Got it.
So I still record my podcast. And then when I do interviews, I do them in here because it's a little smaller. There's some soundproofy things in front of me. So
okay. I've slept in there. I've slept in that exact room.
You have, because it used to be a guest room.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right. I thought so.
Yeah, that was way back in your first visit when you were like, hey, I like you. Can I come visit?
And you said yes, and I
said
I did.
Yes.
And I fell in love with your children. I love you and John. It was so easy. It was like, duh, this was meant to be.
I feel like I wish everyone would be my friend that way, because it's like, come to me, who are weary, and I will give you rest in my guest bedroom.
I will give
bedroom.
You a guest room, yeah. It was a great weekend. I loved it. It really set us up for a long, successful friendship, I think.
Indeed, it did.
I loved it. And I follow your kids on Instagram, so I get to keep up with everybody and see how they're doing and see how college is. Yeah. Okay, podcasting. Your podcast, The Next Right Thing, is a hit in everyone's lives. Are you still enjoying podcasting? This year has been 2023 was wonky for podcasting in general. It was challenging. Yeah. Was it for you? Do you still love it? Do you love it and it was challenging? What's podcasting? What's the state of podcasting for Emily P. Freeman?
Every year I ask myself that question and think, like, do I still like this? Is this still working? And so far the answer's been yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I have wondered, you know, when I started the podcast in 2017, I thought maybe I have 10 episodes in me. Like, I can probably talk about decision making for 10, 15 minute episodes. Here I am over 300 episodes later, still doing it and still not tired of talking about decision making, discernment, chronic hesitation, you know, decision fatigue, because there's always something. A new way to look at it. I'm always making decisions. Everybody always is. We can't graduate from it, retire from it, delegate it, unfortunately.
So
I would say podcasting, the medium, has changed. And that's been, you know, sometimes fun and sometimes discouraging because, you know, you look at the patterns of how people listen and do things is changing. But I think the core people who it's been helpful for, I think it continues to be helpful for them.
I agree. I'm on my fourth Next Right Thing journal that I spiral bind myself. Well, not in my own house, but I do go to a store and get it spiral bound. Emily, I'm doing something different this year. I'm starting my Next Right Thing journal in March.
Is that right?
Yes.
Now tell me why the change.
Because my friend Jen Colquitt, who is on the Hall of Fun because we've talked about Hallmark so many times, Jen taught me. I always had a problem with doing the seasons that you have us do in here by doing January, February, March, because that didn't feel like a season to me.
Yeah.
And then April, May, June. June's really summer. July, August, September. Ugh, September's not summer. It's fall. So I had a lot of troubles, if you will.
Yeah, sure.
So she said, well, I actually start mine in December, and I do December, January, February for winter.
Yeah, that's
and
what I
so
do.
On. Right. So when I decided to do that, I thought, I'm not going to try to start in December because I'm never great at starting things in December. I'm going to wait and start in the spring and start in March. So this will do March, April, May. My first season in this year's Next Right Thing Guided Journal will be spring.
I love that idea. I might have to adopt that next year. I like that.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. Do you have a guess of how many people have done the Next Right Thing Guided Journal?
Ooh. I mean, I could go by I don't even know how many we've sold. I was going to say I could go by how many it's sold. Yeah. But no, I don't know.
I just would imagine it. It here's what I hope is true for me. I hope you never take this out of print, because I would like to do this every year for the rest of my life. It is the most helpful collection of questions and arrows and instructions. And it is very helpful. So I hope I get to do it forever.
Me too.
So will you just not take it out of print, please?
If I can help it. Talk okay, to the publisher.
Okay, so tomorrow your next book comes out, How to Walk into a Room. Emily, I mean, when's the last time a trade book released from you?
5 years ago.
How does it feel different? How does it feel the same?
It feels the same in that, you know, I think Lisa Turker said one time that even though she's written many books, she's never written this book before. And yes. So it is always feels new. There's always some nerves, you know, walking out into the room, because it's like, here yeah. I am with my, it feels like the first time book, because it's the first time we've
yes.
written this one.
Yes.
So that feels the same.
Yes.
But it feels different because I feel different. I mean, 2019 was a mm-hmm. different world in many mm-hmm. ways, not just mm-hmm. in our personal lives, but globally and culturally and all the things. It was a different time. And so, yeah, I think it's different in that way. I hope I've learned a lot about yeah. not just life, but also about sharing books with people and about writing. I hope I've become a better writer in that amount of time, but I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, so you made me laugh nerves. And you made me laugh out loud twice. One
oh,
time
really?
when a tear dripped into your bra, you could have knocked me on the floor. I got so tickled about that you decided to include that detail. I was dead. Yeah.
Spoiler
on the floor.
Alert.
Yeah. I was dead on the floor. I was like, that you is know, the funniest thing.
But you know that's happened to you,
yes.
hasn't it?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I'm crying.
All
but
the
I
way
thought,
down.
That is the funniest thing, even into my bra. I was like, oh, my gosh, Emily. You yeah. are, this is everything I want it to be. It's a beautiful book. I want to ask you some questions about it, but what I didn't prep you for this. Uh-oh. What I actually, you are America's spiritual director. We have made a big decision of a room to walk out of as a company. And I would love for you to walk me through the process of walking out of a room so I can process out loud to everyone why we're walking out of the room we're walking out of and how we made that decision. Does that feel possible?
Okay. Yeah. Let's do it.
Are you scared?
Maybe.
So how to walk into a room and how, I mean, 2/3 of the book is about walking out of a room and
it
what
is.
You're not doing anymore.
Yeah.
And so we have decided after April is our last month of reading, let's read the Gospels. And then in May, we are reading Acts and then we're stopping.
Okay.
So will you kind of start by when you're starting to consider whether you're in the right room or not anymore, what are the questions we should have asked ourselves when we started kind of talk through the pray idea, and then we can kind of banter around how we got to where we got on walking out of this room.
Yeah. Well, what you're describing is a particular type of ending. And so there are all types of endings, right? In life, we all know that. But in the book specifically, but just, you know, the three types of endings that I'm
yes.
most interested in
yep.
are, number one, anticipated endings. And this yep. is when something, like, we all know this, right? This is like, I'm going to graduate in May, or
right.
we're going to get married, which is a beginning and an ending, or
yes.
the baby's coming. You know, a lot of those are celebratory, not always, but those are anticipated. Everyone agrees that it's time or that the time has come, even if they don't love it.
Yeah.
But usually this is when readiness and timeliness align.
That part of the book, Emily, that we usually only get readiness or timeliness.
Yes,
I was like, every decision, you can see how that's true. Yeah.
You can see how it's true, which is why there's tension. And so
yeah.
basically there's those decisions, there's those things in life that happen, those endings that come because, hey, I'm ready. And it's time. And that's mm-hmm. what, for example, you would see at like a retirement party.
Right.
That's when we toast, right? That's when we throw parties. That's when
yes.
we gather. And
yes.
there's no question about like what's happening here.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that's one type of ending anticipated. Another type of ending is a forced ending, when maybe you wanted to stay where you are, but through circumstances beyond your control, whether they be acts of God
yes.
or
yes.
you're fired from a place or you showed up and told the truth and got yourself kicked out of a place. Who knows what it is?
Yeah.
But you were forced out, whether that was something you saw coming or whether it was a complete surprise.
Yeah.
And those endings need to be processed. They do. But it wasn't your choice. And so it doesn't need to be discerned. Now, those are things that I like to talk about and I like to process through and I think are important to mark. Yeah. But there's a third type of ending that you're talking about now, and that is the chosen or discerned ending. Mm-hmm. And that's where you have a thing, you could do it or not, you could say yes or no, you could choose this or that now or later, and you have to go through a process, whatever it is for you, and figure out, like, is now the time? Is then the time? And this is where we want some clarity. This is where we often, some people will rush to a decision or some people will procrastinate that decision because it forces you to live in this in-between space between now and not yet, yeah. where you are having to hold the tension of an unmade decision. Yeah. And maybe for you in this decision about let's read the Gospels, it was like maybe for you, it felt like your readiness was coming to the surface. And maybe there was some tension about, but is it time? Or maybe the team felt like, I mean, I'm curious to hear from you, like what brought you to that decision? Mm-hmm. Because did it feel like more of a natural ending? Like, it's time and we're ready. Or was there some tension there about like, well, how do we know if it's time or if we're ready?
Right. I think, but it's interesting because even when you list, I wrote that down about the three types of endings, they all kind of have a little bit of the, if I'm going to say this thing, it may cause a forced ending. So I need to decide back here if I'm going to say the thing.
Yeah.
If we get married, it's going to force an ending. I need to decide back here if I'm going to, you know. Mm-hmm. And so for us, Emily, it was, I mean, if I'm just telling you the whole truth, the tax on the team of having a 365-day show or 360-day show was unbelievable.
Absolutely.
It's an unbelievable amount. And it takes me about 30 minutes per episode. And so that's a lot of my work week as well, yeah. to produce and to read.
It sounds like you were already starting to ask yourself some of these 10 questions. Like, for example, yeah. is this something I chose or did it choose me? Well, you chose it. It's something you created and started. And then another question is, well, what corners or sections of this room, let's just say this project, have I been avoiding? And perhaps the thing that kept you going in it was you kind of had to avoid and ignore how taxing it was on your team for a while.
Totally. And right? You're like, but yes, totally.
This is hard, but we're doing it and it's successful. And so you sort of have to turn a blind eye.
It matters to people. It matters to us.
People love it. It's doing well. But when you start to assess and you bring to the surface, which is really the first movement in the PRAY acronym, which is point and call. And this comes from the Japanese railway system, which is the best in the world, that they have implemented a safety system called pointing and calling, where they point at a part of the train, a function of the train, when the train comes into the station, and they'll say, point at the signal that's green, and they'll say, signal is green, and it's embodied, and it's out loud. And it's just a way of bringing to the surface an awareness of what's happening. James Clear talks about this in his book, Atomic Habits, about building and forming habits. And we can do the same thing for our inner life and for the rooms of our life. It's just a way of paying attention, like what's happening here. Mm-hmm. And so it sounds like that's what you and your team were doing, was you started to take an assessment and turn the lights up, maybe from the dimmer, like just turn them up slowly and see what's actually happening around here without judgment, you know, and just saying like, okay, we do this show every day, 365 days a year. How tired are we? And you weigh that against the good parts too, because there's good and beautiful parts about it.
Right,
and
right.
there's like hard parts about it.
That is exactly what happened. So as we're working through the PRAY acronym, which I love what you said, I'm going to quote you to you, but you said, throughout this, our time together, meaning in this book, I'll share these four simple movements in the form of an acronym that embodies the posture with which I approach discernment, PRAY. And so this whole book is about do I stay where I am? Do I leave where I am? How do I go to the next place? And what are the hallways in between that is such a, I mean, the whole picture of it is so beautiful, Emily. But you're right. We lifted up probably at the end of last summer, we raised the lights a little bit and said, how is everybody? And what is this requiring of us? And it is a podcast that I did not believe should have advertising on it. So it was a lot of work that was not also helping us be able to do other things or pay the people for their work directly. Though we are salaried, so it's fine. But you know what I mean? Like the cost analysis was not coming back as well as it did at the beginning when we started to rise the tax on the people. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things, Emily, y'all, I'm sure you and John dealt with this in ministry, of like, how hard do you push your people on behalf of all the people?
Right.
And so that is one of the big point and call moments I had to have is like, yeah, I know millions of people need this and love this. I also have 12 people, 13 people, 19 people in this office that what they need matters to me too.
That's right. That's right. And the longevity, the things that they can't do because they're doing this, which may be less taxing on them and even mm-hmm. more beneficial for the million people who mm-hmm. aren't going mm-hmm. to be getting this anymore. It's yeah. something you have to consider all the things. And the thing about discernment that's so maddening is there's usually not a right or wrong. It's not like a clear.
That is maddening.
Like, well, here's the wrong decision, Annie. So just make the right one.
Yeah.
No, that's not how this works.
Right. Ever, almost. Just about ever. That sounds fun. Hey, friends, just interrupting this conversation real quick to tell you about one of our amazing partners, Mosh Bars. I love when I find a snack that has protein in it and is easy to keep with me on the go, and that is Mosh Bars. But get this, they also exist to support brain health. Mosh is a company founded by Maria Shriver and her son, Patrick Schwarzenegger, with a simple mission to create conversation about brain health through food, education, and research. They have 6 delicious flavors. Each Mosh bar has 12 grams of protein, and it's made with ingredients that support brain health. Plus, Mosh donates a portion of all proceeds from your order to fund gender-based brain health research through the Women's Alzheimer's Movement. If you want to find a way to give back to others and fuel your body and your brain, Mosh Bars are the perfect choice. Head to moshlife.com/TSF to save 20% off plus free shipping on either the Best Sellers Trial Pack or the new Plant-Based Trial Pack. That's 20% off plus free shipping on either the Best Sellers or Plant-Based Trial Pack at moshlife.com/TSF. Thank you, Mosh, for sponsoring this episode. And another partner you know I love talking about, Thrive Cosmetics. Okay, so by this point, surely you know my obsession with Thrive Cosmetics and their Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara. I said this on Insta Story just last week, but if they ever quit being an ad partner, I would still be a fan. I just love their mascara and makeup so much, and I love their mission too. Thrive Cosmetics is certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, and their products are made with clean, skin-loving ingredients. And with thousands of 5-star reviews, it is no wonder the turquoise tubes of makeup you see all over Instagram, including on mine, are trending everywhere. Have you tried it yet? If you like a really simple, natural look, or you're all about the full glam, Thrive Cosmetics has you covered either way. And that Liquid Lash Extensions mascara, y'all, it is a must have. Y'all are always asking about my mascara, but it truly makes my lashes look longer and fuller, and it doesn't smudge all over the place. Plus, it's really easy to get off at the end of the day. So when you're past ready to go to bed at night and need to take off your makeup quickly, you just take warm water and a washcloth and it slides right off. No soap required. The ingredients in it are really nourishing. So they support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. And their flake-free tubing formula dramatically lengthens and defines your lashes from root to tip. And here's what's really cool too. For every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. So right now you could get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/TSF. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/TSF for 20% off your first order. Y'all, I love when my Thrive Market box shows up at my door because it means some of my favorite snacks and cleaning supplies have arrived. And I didn't even have to leave my house. Thrive Market has these protein shakes that I like am addicted to. Plus, I'm on a bit of a gluten-free journey, as you know, so they have a ton of gluten-free snacks that I love, like all the Simple Mills crackers and Siete chips. I save money on every order. There is a deals page that I always check out almost daily. It's embarrassing. And I typically save about 30% on every order. Here's the other thing I love. Thrive Market only allows trusted top-quality ingredients while restricting 1,000-plus harmful ingredients like artificial flavors, high-fructose corn syrup, and more. So whether you're looking for organic kids snacks or low sugar alternatives or high protein essentials, you can curate your own shopping experience with a few clicks and trust that you're getting quality products so you can shop worry-free. Save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/thatsoundsfun for 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift. That's thrivemarket.com/thatsoundsfun. thrivemarket.com/thatsoundsfun. Okay, now back to our conversation with Emily.
sounds fun.
Okay, so after we do the point and call where we're starting to pay attention to details, and you dive into this in the book, so if people feel like we're moving fast, get the book. What's the second thing that we do after we point and call?
Remember your path. Mm-hmm. And this is a practice of which you do this well now because you've got your four Next Right Thing journals into it.
Yeah, that's right.
Is having a regular practice of reflection. And I think in a decision like the one we're talking about now, like a business work decision with a team, this is an excellent practice and is part of this framework. When we have a decision to make or when we're looking for our next right thing, if you will, I think a lot of us imagine there's a path forward and our job is to figure out the right one.
That's
which
right.
path do I take?
That's right.
What I have discovered, and I think probably if we really think about it, a lot of us would agree with this, is that rather than there being a path in front of us, the path is behind us. Mm-hmm. It's the road we've already walked. Several poets have spoken to this over the years. And I think in having a regular practice of reflection and looking back, okay, with this project, what's been deeply life-giving about this project, naming it? What has been really life-draining with this? And let's be honest about it. It's another form of pointing and calling, but it's specific to looking back about, you know, what's got us here. And so much of our future decision-making is informed by our past decision-making. And the reality is we're making the path as we go.
Yeah.
And so that idea of remembering your path, I think is something that we often skip over because we go, okay, point and call, here's what's true. Now what's my decision?
Now make the decision. Right.
Right. But this can help slow us down a little bit, which is another part of discernment that's maddening is you can't rush it.
I know. I mean, truly, that's why we've been talking about it since summer. Of 23.
Wow. Yeah.
Is having to go like, okay, we need to have a long path to, we knew we were going till the end of the year. And then it was like, well, now we have the Let's Read the Gospels journal, the guided journal, and we want people to do that. So we need to have a version that matches that order.
Yeah.
You know, because that was the other thing, Emily, when we were doing our Remember Your Path, we were going, oh, there are 13 versions of the Gospels available for people now.
Yeah.
So we have made the thing over and over again. And so that helped us too to go, okay, and to, I mean, all the notes we get and the comments people, I mean, I just was at a conference and everyone talked to me about Single Purpose League and Let's Read the Gospels. Those are two things everybody talked to me about that came up and spoke to me. We know it matters. So that's kept us going is
Absolutely.
That we feel like we're doing what God's invited us to do and we feel like it matters to people. And so we can keep the lights dim. But then when you look back on your path and you go, okay, look what we have made. Okay, the resource isn't stopping. It's always available. We're just not going to do a new one for this foreseeable future. Okay. Talk about acknowledging presence because this was a harder part for me of this decision-making.
Oh, I'm curious as to why this, well, I'll say it and then I'll make you answer that question like a good spiritual director.
That's right.
I'm going to make you answer this. Well, you sort of just spoke to a little bit, Annie, as you mentioned that the people who have been moved and touched by your decision to create this in the first place, and they are part of the presence you acknowledge, is these are the people who've been touched by this really good thing. And even if it doesn't continue in the future in the same way or at all, the reality is those people's lives have still been touched. And as you move into whatever your next thing is or into the hallway of discernment, right, that we're considering whether or not to do it, there are people who go with you. You don't walk into this hallway alone. Even if you are ultimately the boss or the one in charge, the reality is you have a team around you. You have people you can depend on. You have your friend Jesus who goes with you. And hopefully you have trusted mentors that you can talk to and consider when it comes to decisions like this. And I think sometimes, especially if a decision feels overwhelming or stressful, there can be a sense that like, this is all up to me. I'm on my own here. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think there are some decisions where, yes, we're going to be the final say, but the encouragement that I would offer in this discernment process is to always acknowledge there is presence with you and begin to name what that presence is.
Yeah. So it was hard because I wanted to make Jesus happy. I wanted the presence that when I think about that too, yes, the team, I think I could say, you guys, I really think we should do this for another 5 years and the team would do it. I mean, they are just incredible. They would go, okay, we'll figure out a way. We'll figure out a way to do it and how we do it well. But if I'm paying attention to their presence and if I'm paying attention to my own, I mean, the hallway is so helpful because one of the things it does is it opens up so much time for me in the back half of the year. Like, what does God have for those hours that our team what could be the next room we walk into as a team. But I felt so much self-inflicted God pressure of, if we stop doing this, will people not hear the gospel? If am I being disobedient? What did God actually invite me to do in the first place? And because it has been an offering from the start. It has been a passion project from the start. And so I felt a lot of that. Like when I was reading through that last night, I thought, oh, this was it. This is my problem, is I feel this like, is God telling me to leave the room, or am I telling us to leave the room?
Now, listen, that is the question that people hold. Is this my idea, or is this God's idea?
Yeah. Is it?
I knew you were going to ask me that.
How do we know, Emily? How do we know?
Well, I would say a few things come to mind. One is the words of Padre Gotuma, who is an Irish poet and theologian, who said, we might know more than we know we know. Mm. And I think this kind of takes us into a room of asking ourselves, do I really believe that I can trust myself? Now, you and I, as people who, friends of Jesus, grew up in the church, that might raise the hairs on the back of your neck pretty quickly. And you feel a little bit defensive. And maybe someone listening might be like, I'm turning her off because I can't trust her. And I would encourage you to hold the tension a little bit longer and consider, what is it about the idea of trusting myself that makes me so afraid? Mm. Because here's the real deal, is that Jesus could have left behind a fully formed formula, encyclopedia worthy book with an answer to every question we've ever had.
Yeah.
He could have given us a very clear instruction about what to do and what to say. And you might say, well, we have the Bible. Okay. Well, do you know how many years it took to write that, and how many people it took to write it?
And how many things it doesn't directly address, like whether to keep doing a podcast?
How many questions are asked? Yes. Right. Whether or not to do less to read the Gospels.
Right.
And so instead, what Jesus did, and I wouldn't have done it this way, was he formed a community. Mm-hmm. And he left behind a community of people who, by the way, weren't that great.
Yeah, yeah,
they
right.
weren't like the smartest ones. I mean, really. And he trusted them and ultimately us he trusted us to trust him, knowing that we might get it wrong.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, if you're looking for scriptural evidence that God trusts us in a certain way, I think it's there.
It's really good.
But I also think that if what I believe about Jesus is true, and about my life in Christ, is that I have made my home in God, but God has made his home in me, which means that I bring the life of Christ with me wherever I go. That's something that can be trusted.
Yeah,
and the other part of that is that I really believe that God is less interested in me doing the exact right thing at the exact right time than God is interested in the person who I am becoming. Because the person who I am becoming is going to influence a lot more than this one decision, if I get it right or wrong. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes God is like, you know what? Do whatever you please as you're walking with me, and I'm going to go with you.
Yes. We talked to Dr. Nijay Gupta last week about his new book. And one of the things he's talking about the Roman Empire and how weird Christians were in that. And he said, none of the Roman gods cared about your personal development. He was like, that was not part of their religion. It is one of the things that sets Jesus apart, is that he actually cares about who we're becoming as people.
Yeah,
and that is right. Really, clearly, I'm repeating it to you, it's really stuck with me of like, oh yeah, he actually, part of all of this, part of us making this decision as a team, is Jesus cares about who I'm becoming as a gospel person, as a person who loves the Bible, but also as a leader of this company. And also as a woman of faith. And also as, I mean, all of this is wrapped up in, you are going to make this decision, whichever way you go. And it is going to be part of you becoming.
And no matter which way you go, yay, let's toast. Because, and I think you spoke earlier, a really strong narrative that you have about what comes to your mind when you think about God.
Yeah.
Which is what you said was, I want to make Jesus happy.
Yeah.
And so that reveals, not to get too personal, but you said it. So
I know. I said it first.
But it does reveal a narrative that you have. And listen, we all have them about what you imagine God to be like. Mm-hmm. And I think that will always impact our decisions, especially the big ones, right? I mean, it's like the bigger the decision, the more our God narratives come into play.
Right, right. I remember when I was moving to you live this with me, but I remember when I was moving to Nashville, I had a friend of mine say, I said to him, what if this doesn't work? And he said, then you come home. And it was like this revelation to me in the moment of like, oh, this is it. My car goes both ways. I can, it goes south and north. I can't believe, you know, it was just this very, and Gary saying that to me in 2007 has really been a gift that I carry. Cause even in this decision of Let's Read the Gospels, I'm like, well, we're not deleting the feed.
Right.
Like we haven't made some decision that we will never read the Bible out loud ever again. We've made I'll tell you the big decision we made. I don't want anybody on my team working over our summer Sabbath. I don't want anybody working over Christmas break. So I can tell you, we won't do it again this year because I want everyone to have a year off from having a thing they have to schedule or pay attention to over our holidays, because I've done that to them 2 years in a row mm-hmm. with the projects I've created. Mm-hmm. So that to me was part of my point and call of like, everyone's working over Christmas again. They worked over Christmas because of Advent. Now they're working over Christmas because of Let's Read the Gospels. We will not do that in 2024.
And that's so important to be able to name what you do know. Like, I know this. And sometimes just pointing and calling at what you know for sure already, your answer reveals itself without you really having to do much more. And that's such a gift. And the other thing you just pointed out was a principle that I have discovered by informally polling my Next Right Thing audience, people who listen to the Next Right Thing, who self-identify as decisive people. Because I ask, like, how many of you consider yourself decisive? Now, consider the audience. Only like 35% just consider themselves decisive, because they don't need me if they're decisive. But there they are raising their hand. And so a follow-up question was, what would you say is the biggest contributor to your ability to be a decisive person? And one of the things is something that you said, which was most decisions are not final. And so I just know that you know, you cut bangs, okay, they're going to grow back. Like you don't have to perseverate over it. And a lot of them, the second thing they would say is, I just so dislike the feeling of not having made the decision that I would rather make it and have to change my mind later than to wait and put it off and live with that discomfort.
When I tell you, we bought two flights today for me for the same event, because I was like, I don't know which one I'm going to want to take home, but we need to buy the flights. I want you to just buy them both.
Yeah.
And we will, because one of them Southwest, and you can cancel up till 8 minutes before it takes off. And it's just going to be a credit in there. So great. It literally is, in girl math, that is a free flight. That is a free flight. So let's just book it. Emily, if I remember correctly, please correct me if I'm wrong. When we took that survey as listeners, because I did check, I was a decisive person. Was it one of them like, I'm impatient? Like, I don't want to wait. Yeah. That's what I remember being like.
Totally.
If I can make the decision now, why would we not make it now?
Yeah.
And that is not, that works some of the time. That's really helpful some of the time. And it is how God made me, for sure. It's why I'm a good leader in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Also, there are times where it helps that I am surrounding myself with people who are thoughtful about their decision making. And it slows us all down a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the 65% of us are like, why not make it now? Because you might make a mistake.
Yeah.
That's why.
And I'm like, fire, ready, aim. And then I'm like, everybody duck. I don't know how this is going to go. We're going to do our best. Yeah. It is such a mixed bag. Are there correlations when you were writing this and when you were studying this and living this, are there correlations between personality type, Enneagram, Myers-Briggs, all that, and people who walk in and out of rooms quickly?
Oh, absolutely. Now, listen, anecdotally, I say absolutely. Yeah. Have I done the study? I have not.
You didn't hire Barna yet?
I didn't, but I would say, not yet, but I would say even when I did that little informal survey, a lot of people just self-identified as the assertive types, you know, aggressive or leaning forward types.
Yeah.
Of being more decisive. And I think that probably just comes with it. And thank the Lord for them, because we need all types. We need all of the whole body to be able to make this, you know, ship move forward. So I'm grateful for it, but I do think there's a lot of correlation.
Yeah. So when I am thinking about, I feel like we've covered why we're leaving that room. of Let's Read the Gospels. Do you have any other questions about why, about how we made that decision? Is there anything I left out?
Oh, I think why. The only thing is the why, the That's yield the to the arrows, which yeah. is why stands for yield to the arrows, which really is just another way of saying, okay, so what's your next right thing? Yeah. And it sounds like you have clearly come to the decision that your next right thing was to stop at least for now. And I think mm-hmm. that's something to remember is, you know, I talk about something that's helpful for me is two word mantras in a time when you're just trying to get a handle on like right now happening, two word yeah. mantras. And by mantra, I just mean two words that,
you just, for people watching on YouTube, they got to see that. For our podcast listeners, somehow you just gave us balloons on here. Did you do the peace sign?
Is that what got does us
balloons?
It?
I don't know. Yeah, it and was. That's for you. Wow, thank you.
Wow, I feel powerful.
Do your you know two-word mantra just shot balloons up through your screen.
My two-word mantras. Wow, that was special.
Congrats, everybody watching on YouTube. If you've never checked us out on YouTube, this is your day because Emily
this
gave
is
us
your
balloons
day.
Twice.
We've had a lot of action here
yeah,
today.
Yeah.
On the
okay,
video.
Two-word mantra.
But this idea of rather than saying like, gosh, my kids are really struggling. I'm learning it to be helpful to say, my kids are really struggling for now. Or we're going to take a break from this volunteer position at our church for now. Yeah. It can sometimes buy you a little bit of time. And so that can be like an arrow rather than thinking like, this is final, this is our final mm-hmm. destination. Mm-hmm. You can think, well, we're just following the arrows to our next right thing. And for you, it sounds like that you arrived at this decision mm-hmm. And that feels good for now. But like you said, you're not deleting the feed. We don't know yeah. what might be for later.
Yeah, that's right. The arrow I know is I want everyone to not think about work over Christmas break.
Yep.
That is the arrow I know. So, yes. So even if it means I have to say no to things I want to make for this year,
yep.
I am going to say no to things I want to make because I want to honor that everybody should get a Christmas break at this particular company that we work at together.
Yeah.
So I think that the arrows have been really helpful in the next right thing guided journal as well, because often you will say in that journal, it just brings me peace because I think you know this. I do my journal on my Sabbath morning for that week. So I usually am grieving something because I tend to pile up my grief until my Sabbath and not try to deal with it during the week. And so I'm usually grieving something. I'm usually processing something pretty intense because I feel everything to that level. And but then your arrows go, well, if you don't have the final, what's a suggestion life has given you about this thing? Mm-hmm. What's a turning you've done toward or away from this thing that you may not have noticed? And I would be like, he texted me less this week. That's mm-hmm. interesting. Or I found myself not wanting to pay for that thing this week, and I've wanted to pay for it before. I'm noticing gray hairs. Do I want to dye my hair? Like, I just find myself asking, the arrows lead to questions. Is that true?
That's right. Absolutely. Okay. The arrows lead to questions. And I think the questions can lead to arrows. I mean, sometimes, you know, every month in the guided journal you mentioned, I'm writing down questions I have, and they might be big questions or yeah. they might be small questions,
yeah.
but paying attention to the questions I'm holding, hopefully by the end of that month or within a reasonable amount of time, once I've named what the question is, I might have just one next right thing I can do in the yeah. direction of the question that has raised. Yeah. And I would say, if you can't put your decision in a sentence, then it's probably not time to make the decision yet. And I think the questions wow. help you to do that. They help you put your decision into a sentence. That sounds
fun. Hey, friends, just interrupting this conversation one more time to tell you about one of our incredible partners, Liquid IV. Y'all know when I get on a plane, I try to drink a whole bottle of water during the flight. I'm trying not to come out of the air feeling all dehydrated. You know, you get it. But these days, I'm also packing Liquid IV with me and putting it in my water bottle too, so I'm getting extra hydrated. Liquid IV has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And it's all in one single sugar-free stick, so it's easy to throw in my bag and take it with me. What is your reason for wanting to be more hydrated? Are you just trying to stay hydrated during the day, or is it during your workouts or while you're outdoors? See, Liquid IV can help you with all your hydration goals, plus it tastes really good. There are these 3 sugar free flavors that you are going to love: lemon lime, green grape, and white peach. Everyone in our office has tried them and we all have different favorites. I genuinely like them all. Lillian makes my water bottle for me in the morning. I know it's bougie, but she does. And I don't even care which one she picks. I like all 3 of them. There's no artificial sweeteners in it. It's non-GMO. It's free from gluten, dairy, and soy. You can use it every day like I do, or before a workout, or when you feel run down, or after a long night or on long flights. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier, sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code ThatSoundsFun at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using the promo code ThatSoundsFun at liquidiv.com. And I have another amazing partner to tell you about, Shopify. When we decided we wanted to start selling some of our own merch, like the green That Sounds Fun long sleeve t-shirts or the work robes, y'all know you love them. If you don't have one yet, you need to get one. We needed a way to make it all happen. Shopify was our answer, and shopannieFDowns.com exists because they were the perfect platform for us. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the we want to sell a few t-shirts to the let's take this merch on the road, all the way to did we just get 1,000 orders stage. Shopify will help you grow, whether you're selling jewelry or prints or candles. Shopify helps you sell literally everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. They have got you covered. They power 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., you guys. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds and Rothy's and Brooklinen and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size around 175 countries. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/soundsfun, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/soundsfun now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/soundsfun. Y'all, we all love something that is customized to us. Getting our favorite outfit tailored to fit just right, getting a custom piece of art for your house, listening to a playlist that's customized for us based on what we like to listen to. So why not use custom hair care? We all have different hair textures and types, and switching to a custom hair care routine has been so helpful for me. Like, my hair looks healthier and shinier. Plus, Pros also has custom skincare, which is so great because we definitely all have different needs for our skin too. With Pros, it is all about personalization. You do their in-depth consultation and they come up with your made-to-order products. There are millions of possible formulas, but only one is uniquely yours or mine. Pros isn't just better for you, it's better for the planet. They're a certified B Corp, they're cruelty-free, and they're the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. Pros is so confident that they will bring out your best hair and skin that they're offering an exclusive trial of 50% off your first subscription order, you guys. Just go to pros.com/thatsoundsfun so you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/thatsoundsfun. That's PROSE.com/thatsoundsfun. And now back to finish up our conversation with Emily. That sounds fun. In the book, you spend some time talking about the different pathways of our faith and how we connect with God, mm-hmm, and why that matters when it comes to decision-making.
Yeah.
And so will you talk about that for a second? Because the pathways are really interesting. And I found myself going like, that explains why when I get home from a walk, it explains, Emily, why in New York City, every single day I have more peace, mm-hmm, because I'm walking more and I'm thinking more. And I'm recognizing I connect with God through that in, yeah, ways that I didn't know before I lived in a pedestrian city.
Right. Well, I think So Gary Thomas wrote a book called Sacred Pathways, and in it, he talks about the different sacred pathways that we can take it's different ways that we love God. Yeah. So it's different pathways of what it might look like. So for example, one person may be really drawn to God through beautiful music or through worshipful expression, like outward bodily worshipful expression. Someone else might connect with God out in nature, walking through the woods quietly. They look really different, but they're both pathways of knowing and loving God.
Yeah.
And so Gary Thomas talks about 9 of them. I would say that's a great start. I think there, yeah, might be as many ways to love God as there are people.
Yeah,
and that's right, an important thing to pay attention to. But my friend and colleague, Dr. Keys Kiesler, talks about these same pathways, but he uses a little different language by calling them spiritual personalities. And I like that,
cool,
a little bit better because it's intrinsic sort of to who we are. It's not just something outside of us that we're following. It's actually like, this is part of my personality. This is,
yeah,
who I am and how I'm made and how I'm, yeah, designed uniquely. And so the reason why this is important is because a couple of things, but one reason is because if we're not aware of our own spiritual personality, the way we connect with God, then we might be trying to connect with God in a way that has been modeled for us, in a script that has been given to us. And I would say we can't be spiritually formed inside someone else's life. And so,
wow,
it's really important for us to be able to name and know, how do I connect with God uniquely?
Yeah.
And I think the same is true for naming our core values when it comes to things that are deeply important to us, things that make us us. Yeah. What are things that I can engage in on a daily, weekly, monthly, annual basis that put myself in the pathway of God in a way that were I not to do those things, I just wouldn't feel like myself. I wouldn't feel like I'm connecting with God in the way that I'm maybe uniquely designed to do. I wouldn't say that it's like there's a wrong way and a right way for everyone. I just think that there's a way that feels like home to us. Yeah. And so those are some good things to name. But the reason why that's important when it comes to discernment and decision-making is because that's part of acknowledging presence. It's acknowledging my presence with God and how I connect with God and how I'm going to hear from God in my own life.
Yeah.
And it's also acknowledging my own presence in the room and in this decision, because I'm a voice at the table, and how I connect with God is going to shape that voice one way or another. And so knowing and naming that, I think, is deeply important and transformative to our decision-making processes.
You even said at one point in the book that you're kind of two of them. So it's not like you are one. It is like, these are the couple that like I, so it's all, so there's nine to start. There's as many as there are humans, probably. You're right.
Probably.
And the combination of like seasonally, you know, seasonally I'm different. In the winter, I'm not an outside person. I know Joe Saxton says it's not about the weather, it's about the clothing you wear. I hear her. That has yet to be my experience in 43 years. So we will see if I get into that in my 50s or something. But I thought, man, that is really, in the decision that we have brought as the example of the Gospels, it has helped me a lot to, when I was in New York, to walk and think about what will it feel like when I don't do this anymore?
Yeah.
What will it, okay, God, what do you say about this? I did at times say to God, do you have a vote here? Do you have a care? Or is what my team is expressing and what I'm feeling and what my team needs, how God is talking to me through this?
And that's when you wrote about, I mean, listener, if y'all haven't watched Annie's and listened to Annie's, that episode where you were talking about New York and your body.
Yeah.
I have not stopped talking about it or thinking about it since you released that.
Thanks. Yeah.
But that, here I did it again, the balloons, you guys. I'm going to sit on my hands. But that was such a beautiful example to me of how Holy Spirit moves and works in our own lives. Because you can't, that's the thing. It's like sweet tea. You can't separate the sugar from the tea. It's just sweet tea now. Yeah. And that's what you are in Christ, is that you're just walking around New York City, living your life and paying attention. You're pointing and calling to where you feel alive, where you feel drawn and invited into being Annie. You felt like Annie there and doing these particular things and living this particular way. I see God all over that. And so it's not like, you know, God has a vote over on the side and it's different from the way you're experiencing life. You just can't separate it out like that.
Yeah, that is work you've already done that I have yet to do. I can tell that you know me, I'm just not as, I'm not as quick to pay attention to myself in a way that helps me grow out of what I've learned forever, particularly when it comes to my spiritual life. And I'm sometimes a little afraid of what I think, not when it does not match what I've been taught.
That's fair.
And so you have gotten more practice and more, you've chosen more practice and chosen more investment in doing that wrestle than I have so far.
Well, and you've that's naming a room that you've been in too. Mm-hmm. And so maybe the lights are starting to come on in that room a little bit for you, which I think is beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It is really funny, because as we're even talking about that AFD and NYC episode, New York is a decision, is a room, you know, Nashville's a room.
That's right.
And currently they're adjoining. Currently there is a door in between and neither side are locked. And will it stay like that? Will a hallway grow? Will they both stay open forever or not? You know, like, I don't know, Emily. And so that is where I can't say it in one sentence. So if I can't say it in one sentence, I don't know.
It's not time yet.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, all the while, Annie is becoming someone.
Yeah, right. Which that matters, because we have a God that cares about our becoming.
Yes, we do. Amen.
Yes, yes. Why did you spend more time talking about leaving than entering, but it was titled about entering a room?
Well, the secret is that we really wrestled with the title of this book. And there was a period of a few weeks where it was called How to Walk Out of a Room. Uh-huh. And the reason why ultimately How to Walk In, One Out is because I like to write books about a place we're going. I like the idea of moving
that
towards something.
Feel good. Yeah.
I don't love just walking out. I don't know.
Right.
Because here's the deal is that how we're formed informs how we walk into rooms. Yes. But we cannot ignore the last room we left because it's going to inform the next room we walk mm-hmm. into. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to have a place to explore the endings of our lives, like start with some of the endings so that as we approach our beginnings, we're acknowledging this is a story already happening. Every beginning, probably there was just an ending right behind it. And how we begin and beginning in healthy and wholehearted ways, it really matters mm-hmm. how we walked out of the last room. Yes. So let's face that last room and let's sit down a little bit here and help people discern when it might be time to walk out. Because here's the thing. I think we're really good at beginnings and starting things. And especially when you're good at something, it's really hard to call it.
Yeah.
It's. I think we think that just because we're good at something, maybe this means I'm supposed to do it forever.
Yeah, right.
Because that's what, you know, we prayed for this and we wanted this and we chose this. And then if I choose different, does that mean I chose wrong in the first place? Does uh-huh. that mean I've wasted my time and money? There's a lot of sort of like identity questions like that come to mind. And so all those things, it's like I couldn't choose walk in or out. Like they were all somewhat equally important. But ultimately I sort of landed with titling walking into a room, but also spending some significant time with this decision of walking out, because I think it's something that we have strong narratives about. We have strong familial narratives and societal narratives about what it means to quit or what it means to stay. Yeah. And I wanted to begin to tease some of those out and also how that impacts our idea of God and how God plays into all that.
Yeah.
So I hope that my hope is that we will not be so afraid to ask ourselves some questions, whether we end up going or staying in our spaces, that at least the process of asking questions, of looking around honestly without judgment or shame, can really help us feel more confident and more sure in some ways, or just more informed about the decisions we're making, whether we decide to stay or go.
So I want to finish by asking you three questions. I want you to talk to the fear in each of these people groups, because there are people who are in the room and need to leave, but they're afraid to leave.
Yeah.
So what is your encouragement for the person who's afraid to leave the room that they know they need to leave, whether that's a relationship, a job, a church, they love eating pizza and they need to leave gluten. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can be afraid of if you don't want to leave the room you're in. So what do you say to the man or woman who is afraid to leave the room they're in?
Well, I think fear is a powerful motivator, and perhaps I wouldn't give an answer, but maybe just an arrow of, start to name the fears out loud. What are you deeply afraid of? And what is the worst thing that could happen if I stay here? And what's the best thing that can happen if I stay here? And then flip it. What's the worst thing that could happen if I leave or let this thing go? And what's the best thing that could happen if I let this thing go? Again, not an answer, but it could be just a practice of pointing and calling of maybe sometimes once you say the fear out loud, it loses a little bit of its power. Sometimes it loses a lot of its power. That could be a place to start.
Yeah. So the people that are in the hallway, they've left the room, they've left their job, they don't have the next one yet. They've left their church, like you write about. They don't have, I mean, at one point you called it, I was sitting in not my church. And I was like, that's the other one that made me laugh out loud when you called it not my church.
Yep.
But, you know, there's people who have left a relationship and aren't in another one yet. Or left, you know, what's your encouragement to the person in the hallway that is afraid, sad, that is, would not choose to be in the hallway?
I think for that person, I would say, this might not be a welcome answer, but I would say the goal is not necessarily to leave every hallway of our life. Mm. The goal is not to find every right room and close and lock the door and paint the rooms and here we are settled forever. part of a healthy human rhythm of life is finding ourselves in a hallway at any given time. And so I think naming that this is normal and this is expected, and it doesn't mean you're wrong or that you've done something wrong or that you're late or that you're early. Mm. Maybe you're right where you need to be.
Right.
But rest assured, you have a God who sees you and knows you and is in that hallway with you, no matter how liminal of a space it might feel right now.
That's very good. That's good. That's people will be glad to hear that. You didn't say a thing that we won't be glad to hear. Because I do think at all times I'm in a room, I'm leaving a room, I'm in a hallway.
That's
at
right.
all times.
Absolutely.
In different places.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For our friends who've just gotten into a new room, a new relationship, their kids are in a new school, they moved to a new city, they have a new job, they're in a new church that's not quite not my church, but it's not quite my church.
Yeah.
And they think, I do not know this place.
Yeah.
I do not. I mean, I remember when I first moved into my condo in Nashville, I invited my friend Kula over and I said, Kula, will you? She teaches yoga. I said, I just think I need to connect to my house. I do not feel connected. Can you just come to my house and do yoga with me in my house? And we did. And it did help. It made me feel connected. And so what do we do if we're in a new place and it doesn't feel like home?
I think first you have to let yourself be a beginner and know that one thing about beginning is it's only for a period of time.
Yeah.
And so allowing that to be true, I think also knowing that most things end and probably this new thing you just started, eventually it might come to an end. And so is there a way to practice your own presence in this space to let this room bring the gifts it's going to bring? And also don't expect it not to have burdens, because it will.
Yeah.
And I think the more we can go into our new spaces, our new jobs, our new relationships, knowing that there's going to be gifts and burdens all along the way, I think the more prepared we are to when we see them, we're not so devastated by like, but this was supposed to be the answer. Like, no, this was just another room. And here we are being people together in it. And thanks be unto God that we're not alone.
Yeah. Okay. My last question. You write about SNL in your book. Do you think Tina Fey takes over for Lorne Michaels?
Who's
he's been doing this for 48 years.
In my mind, he's going to do it forever. That's why the question took me off guard. I'm like, well, that's never. He's going to live forever.
Sorry, let me start by telling you something. Lorne Michaels is not eternal.
Okay, thank you.
And so, therefore, my next question,
he's going to leave the room.
He is going to leave the actual capital R room, which is Earth.
Uh-huh.
He will leave. And I thought, I would love to hear Emily's hot take of who could take over at SNL after Lorne Michaels.
I love all these words. I mean, let's just right now put it into the universe that it ought to be Tina.
Right?
I feel really good about that choice.
I know. I think she'd be really funny. I think Seth Meyers would be great too.
That's a good one.
A thought I have, agree to disagree, is I would like to see Tina make some things in the 2020s. That have modern day jokes, because pretty much we're getting rewinds of Mean Girls currently, which is great. Mm-hmm. I enjoy Mean Girls.
Mm-hmm.
Seth Meyers has to make jokes every night in our culture right now.
Right. What we are right now. That's right.
I also think Tina Fey is insanely funny and her book was beyond. Book killed me. So where's Tina Fey's next book? Where's Amy Poehler's next book? Where's Mindy Kaling's next book?
That's what we want to know. That's really the question of the day.
That is one of our 10 questions. I have so many notes that we did not talk about in this book because it is just an extraordinary book that has helped me so much. But one of them was SNL, will Tina take over? So I did get to the important stuff.
You hit the important ones.
Yeah. Emily, you are, as I tell you all the time, America's spiritual director. You're just helping us in such incredible ways. Is there anything we didn't say that you want to make sure we say about the book?
Maybe the only thing that I'll say in closing is just that in speaking of how to walk into a room, I think that I'm still, you know, in the book, I share several rooms I've left and there was a lot of loss in that, right? There was some grief, there was loss, there was some joy too, a lot that I've learned. But I would say, I hope that this can be a kind companion for people who are standing in the thresholds of their own lives. And they might feel a little lost to know, how do I even begin to make this decision? I hope that this book can be a beginning and that by the end of reading it, you might not have your answer, but I hope that you won't feel so alone and that you will at least maybe have a few arrows to follow.
I was about to say, I felt equipped.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Will you talk for just a second about the blessings and benedictions for hellos and goodbyes?
Yeah. So the blessings for hellos and goodbyes is an audio collection that exists inside the Quiet Collection app, which is an app we created a couple of years ago. And the app houses prayers, psalm readings. A lot of those are free. There's also some paid collections that we do during Advent. And the blessings for hellos and goodbyes is a free offering for anyone who buys the book. So if you purchase the book, there's a QR code in the back that you scan and takes you to a website that you can get the blessings for free. And really what they are, there's seven blessings for goodbyes and seven blessings for hellos. And they're ones I've written, and then Caleb Peavy does the music for the background. Yeah. And really it's just a way to, you know, especially for those endings that don't have any closure. You know, there's different blessings for different things, like for when you're ready, but it isn't time, or for when it's time, but you aren't ready. Or a blessing for the morning, which is another kind of hello. It's a daily hello.
Yeah.
Or a blessing for your first day. Or a blessing for leaving a beloved space, or for leaving a faith community. So these are just another way to engage some of the rooms that we're entering and leaving. It's sort of a companion to the book. You don't have to read the book first, and you don't have to listen to the blessings before you read the book. It sort of can go along, but that's what they are. And they're, again, available to anyone who purchases the book.
I love it. My one request of you would be, as you continue to leave rooms, go in hallways and enter new rooms, can I just be like tied to you? Can I just always go with you? I don't want us to be in different rooms. I want to always be in the Emily room.
I want to always be in the Annie room. So okay, it sounds like great. We agree.
Okay.
I love it.
Great. I love you. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks, my friend.
You guys, isn't she just the best? Go get you a copy of How to Walk into a Room. It is such a good book. It is such a good book, you guys. Go follow Emily on social media. Tell her thanks for being on the show. I loved her walking through the future of Let's Read the Gospels with us. I mean, she live spiritually directed me about a decision we have very recently made. And so I just loved it. I absolutely loved it. She is just brilliant. And that will happen for you all through this book. So make sure you get your copy today. If you have any questions from this episode, you can drop them in the Q&A box in the Spotify app, if that's where you're listening, or send them to us on Instagram at That Sounds Fun Podcast. And we will try to answer them there. If you need anything else from me, you know I'm embarrassingly easy to find. Annie F. Downs on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all the places you may need me. That is how you can find me. And I think that's it for me today, friends. Go out or stay home. Do something that sounds fun to you, and I will do the same. Today, what sounds fun to me, y'all, I'm getting to see an off-Broadway show tonight that features Mark Summers from Double Dare. It's called The Life and Slimes of Mark Summers. I cannot wait. I will give y'all a full review, but check in on my socials tonight, but I am so excited to see The Life and Slimes of Mark Summers. Y'all have a great week. We'll see you back here on Thursday with one of my favorite influencers and one of my favorite friends. You may know her as Nicole the Nomad, Nicole Renard. She'll be here with us on Thursday. We'll see y'all then.
That sounds fun. That sounds fun.